Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have Brenda Talon, Jane Duker, and our very own Mark Cox from the Mark Cox Morning Show. Interesting discussion on the break there. Let's kind of segue into local politics with that. Jane, if you could kind of make that point that you're just making to us on the break, that the radical left and the radical right have met, and while they hate each other, they're wearing the same jersey when it comes to a lot of issues in the way that we're...
Well, the disassociation from the truth is where that really starts to bother me. When you have someone who says that everything that Donald Trump does, no matter what, is absolutely perfect, and then you have people on the radical left who look at people like Kim Gardner and Wesley Bell and say that there's absolutely nothing they could do wrong while people are getting slaughtered in the streets, including our children, you start to think, okay, wait a minute here. This is where this happens. I mean, where, you know, and then the 60 to 70% of us in the middle are saying, now, wait a minute here. I mean, and I disagree vehemently with Mark on a lot of things, but I mean, I feel like there's a disassociation from truth on the radical sides of both parties that if taken together are a good 30% of the population, and it's terrifying. And so when you get to the point where you say, well, if they can deny the truth, I can deny the truth. And I'm seeing that on the left.
What's
as much
truth?
As I'm seeing, well, I mean, for example, I mean, okay, can we look at the crime rate? Crime is going up in St. Louis, and murders are up 10% in the city of St. Louis. And you know, we see yesterday Kim Gardner, she just dismisses a first degree murder charge. Oh, yeah, you know, the witnesses, I don't know. I mean, I'm just dismissing this. And she's dismissing cases at a radical rate. And that's even been, you know, put in the Post-Dispatch, which is shocking. And then you have Wesley Bell, another one on that side of it, saying, oh, okay, a cop gets killed and by a car. And he just basically ignores all the evidence and generates a story as to what happened that's completely against the evidence. No one mentioned sun glare. Even the defense lawyer for the woman, he takes that case and bargains it down. A person died and it turned into a misdemeanor.
Well, in fairness to Wesley, he ran on that. He told people, this is what I plan on doing.
You get what you vote for.
No, he said violent criminals were going to still be put behind bars.
Well, the definition is
violent.
And
I didn't support,
right?
Wesley Bell. So, well, I mean, I was a Bob McCullough supporter. So, I mean, I'm not the one you're looking
for.
Well,
Jane, what do you
think? I think there's a group of people who felt
going
that.
On. Is it incompetence? Is it
willful blindness, which concerns me? And you talked about it. People go into their own corner, go into their own echo chamber, and they're afraid. People are afraid to come and sit with people who don't agree with them, well, and hash it out and
have a discussion.
And have
because
a discussion.
But I think even with that, a lot of people are talking in sound bites. So people will assert things as fact that aren't.
That are opinions.
They're opinions.
Right.
And everybody, when you look at the climate that we're in, and I don't care whether it's social media, radio, TV, everyone's just asserting things because that's how you get attention. It can't be, you know, I'm a little puzzled by and was wondering. Right, in your profession, you can't really, you do that. I mean, you have discussions, but other folks don't. You've got to just say, this is it.
Mm-hmm. And the lack of intellectual curiosity. I mean, we're curious. We read. This is our job. I mean, we talk about this stuff. We read it. We try it. But there's not a lot of intellectual curiosity going on out there, and that concerns me.
Well,
there's a lot of
schools for that.
And I see, you know, the protesting, and I'm like, okay, what's your end game?
What
we have to convert from screaming to action or to something else.
Mm-hmm. What is criminal justice reform? Can I ask that question? Because I saw something on Black Friday at the Galleria, front page of the Post.
Mm-hmm.
A group of protesters went through. They were upset over a shooting that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
The picture that the Post chose was a picture of a gentleman. They even had his name in there. It was Tory something.
Knocking over
a display case in the middle of the Galleria on Black
mm-hmm.
Friday.
Mm-hmm. That's not protesting.
I went on to CaseNet. I went on to the Richmond Heights Municipal Court docket. I could find no charges pressed against this individual. Are we just supposed to ignore those things? Was it political pressure that kept the police from arresting anyone? Because a year or two ago, when they went into the gallery and raised a lot of cane right after Ferguson, the property manager said, "This is private property. Please remove them." And they did. That didn't happen on Friday. And I wonder why. What kind of pressure was applied? That's the end game of criminal justice reform, is not enforcing the law.
Right. We're not putting this whole fallacy that people, that the jails, the workhouse are full of pot possessors, is a joke. No one, prosecutors, judges, the system does not have the ability to accommodate all pot possessors. It's a joke. I mean, I was happy that Joey Vaccaro, as kooky as he can be sometimes, he put out all the statistics that, you know, less than 1% of the people in the workhouse are even misdemeanor. They're all felons. They're all dangerous people. And we are not getting, we have surpassed the most dangerous years we've had in gun crimes in the city of St. Louis. Okay, gun crimes, there's no reforming there. Okay, I'm sorry, but when you serially commit gun crimes, diversion is not appropriate for you. Okay, not prosecuting is not appropriate for you in this climate when people are dying in the streets.
What do you guys think of the new, I don't know the name of it, Rach, I think you do, the new $8 million program where we're going to have 10 mediators that go out and talk to all the dangerous people, and what's the name of that thing?
Oh, Cure Violence.
Yeah.
Cure Violence.
I feel like, look, do I think that could have some validity? Do I think education is vital? Do I think that economic opportunity, all that stuff? But we have a short-term problem, we have a medium-term problem, we have a long-term problem. Investing in long-term problems like education and all those sorts of things will mean zero if people continue to die in the streets. I think everyone admits that Cure Violence could have some sort of place. I think that's awfully expensive. The way the city budget is.
Right.
But setting that aside, that is a more medium and long-term solution. Right now, the same people, 10% of the people are committing 90% of the crimes. They need to be taken off the street and kept off the street.
And locked up.
I'm sorry.
It's pretty basic. We have laws. We got to enforce the laws.
Right.
You want to attract businesses to our city.
Right.
You've got to have a safe environment.
Okay.
Right.
So who is it out there, other than the 10% of felons, that are in favor of this? Who is it that's supporting Kim Gardner and Wesley Bell and saying, yes, I want criminals to feel safer in St. Louis City and St. Louis County?
I don't know if their thought is, I want criminals to feel safer. I think that they don't really understand the issues, and the simplest solution is to hire somebody who's simply not going to enforce the law. It's no different than, I refer to him as Bernie Sanders now, but it's no different than Bernie Sanders promising a chicken in every pot. They're selling it to an audience that wants to believe they're not as likely to get arrested, or their cousin's not as likely to get arrested, if Kim Gardner is the prosecutor in the city of St. Louis.
Or it's a false sense of restoring some type of equity, and it's not.
I think it is. I agree with Brenda 100% on that. It's this false sense of that if we let everybody out of prison, somehow that's going to deal with the economic inequality. We cannot dispute that there is a huge income inequality in this country. And I think some believe that somehow letting people out of prison. Wesley Bell dismissed 800 child support cases and sent them to a civil contempt docket, because people who don't show up to criminal court are going to show up to civil court, right? I mean, it doesn't even pass the laugh test. We've basically stopped collecting child support in St. Louis County. That's $8 million that isn't going to kids. Okay, so somehow that's addressing the economic, because you know what? Oh, I'm sorry, because the dad might lose his job. Well, you know what? When you don't pay your child support, that's a major, and we're not talking about guys who miss a payment or two. By the time you get to the criminal docket, you're a guy who can pay. It's usually the richer people. That's what I find ironic about the whole child support debate. It's usually the rich guys who have it and have an ability to pay and refuse to that end up on the criminal docket, because that shows intent. You know what I mean? Poor people who can't pay. I mean, nobody sees, judges do not see benefit of putting poor people in jail who can't pay. Okay. I mean, that's just, they lower the child support. They go in and they say, this is what this person's capable of paying.
Well, I would say, we do have some systems within our municipality, which are
oppressive
and are still inequitable because of what they impose upon people. They have nothing to do with criminal behavior. So one of the things we've got to do is we actually should clean up our laws, and then the laws that we have, enforce them.
Right.
So one of my theories of life is that we live in a world of overcorrections. We spend very little time in the middle of the pendulum.
Subtlety.
And there seems to be an overall view on the left, much of which I agree with, that there's been systemic racial and gender and sexual orientation biased. And now it seems to be, rather than we should stop that, it seems to be we should stop it and we should go way over here.
Right.
And make these people, whoever those people are, white, straight, what have you, pay. That's only going to last so long. And then we're going to go the other way.
And it's already
coming.
Well,
I would actually suggest, Dave, we're seeing the backlash. I think there are a lot of people who are very angry in this nation. And I don't think they're necessarily talking to pollsters. But
that's
I
right.
think there is a lot of anger there.
And they're quiet now. And I think, and I've disagreed with a lot of people just on both sides. It's not even a political issue, that I think people are much quieter now. They're internalizing.
Because if you say anything, you can be attacked.
I mean, I've had death threats.
And you can lose your job.
Right. I've been Twitter bombed by the radical left and Anonymous. I mean, it's bad. And so people are afraid. And so what is happening is they're going inward. So the discussion and trying to bridge the divide among groups, it's getting harder because people are going inward because they're afraid. And so they're just going to their corners.
Yeah.
And I don't know what changes that, because I feel like that is a uniquely American problem right now.
I agree. Someone like a David Duke or a Richard Spencer, I feel like they're a lot less dangerous than the person who's out there saying nothing.
Exactly. And I always said that as a woman growing up in a male dominated, I feel like we're going backwards. I was always taught by my mom, who was also a trailblazer, that look, do your job, be great at your job. You need to be worried about not being at the table. The obnoxious comment about your legs or your backside, you know, that's sexism you can see and deal with. When you're not invited into the room, that's when you're really in trouble. That's when your salary and your pay gap comes. That's when all this stuff. But you're not going to be in the room, because if you complain about everything, and I tell the younger generation of women, you know, when you complain about every comment and you complain about every perceived slight, then they don't invite you in the room. And you will never beat the game if you're not in the game.
Which we're seeing on a corporate level.
We are.
Like, we're not
going
to train young
backwards.
Executives. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like as a woman, we're going backwards, because now women are not in the room because men are afraid of hashtag me too.
I'm not going to accept that excuse. We, in a lot of professions, we outnumber the guys. And I do think merit rises to the top. So I know that there are individual stories where people can say, you know, I've been discriminated against. But given where we are in the world and given our population, it's time for us to quit whining about that and just go out and take charge, because we can.
Yeah.
So I just don't buy into that.
At some point, it's an excuse. And I don't want to get into a completely different subject here, but did you see what they're doing in Evanston, Illinois?
About the reparations?
That surrounds Northwestern University. The city council voted that they're going to take $10 million from legalized marijuana sales, and they're going to put a reparations fund together to try to, you know, make up for some sort of redlining that happened there 70 years ago or 60 years ago when people weren't allowed to buy in certain neighborhoods.
It's
a nightmare.
I don't like the term reparations, because everybody should. I mean, then I want reparations as a woman. You know, I don't like that. I think retribution is never the right answer. And you don't answer discrimination with more discrimination. I just think that's a horribly vicious cycle. However, do I think it's a great idea to invest in education and invest in things that would address the inequality that's out there? Great. But then, you know, then get a real program, show that it's effective, and do what we do here, which is we argue about how resources are spent. And this is something that we're going to make a commitment as a society to try to deal with this, and then do that. But that's called government. That's called the normal process. And I would like to see it go there rather than these labels.
And I would vote for less of that.
And I would get on my soapbox and say, why don't we just see if we can do the basics better than we've been doing them, instead of going into all of these other directions? So how about we try to work on our schools and give the kids more opportunities for a better education?
Mm-hmm. We're not even talking about education.
Streets and fix the potholes.
How about not letting people die on the streets? I mean, when a company is in trouble, They look at it and they say, what's core business? We need to get back to core business, right? We got to start, like, maybe we've overinvested. Maybe we've acquired too many things. We need to get back to core business. This country needs to get back to core business. Keeping people safe, not dying. We need to have education. We need to deal with healthcare. We need to deal with jobs. I mean, really, when you get beyond, and obviously national security, which comes into the safety, beyond those four, are we really beyond those four?
False impeachment hearings. We should do away with those.
What I would add is, you know, we say it like it's simple. It's not.
No.
It's hard. It's very complex. But as long as we have systems where our elected officials just keep looking at their term rather than looking at the long term, we're not going to wrestle with the complex issues.
All right. Good place to stop. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Quick break. Right back. More than DGS. First song I ever learned to play on the guitar. Fourth grade, me and Sam Shear were going to do a talent show.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah. Sam was my first partner ever. Three-legged race.
Lucky.
Music. I wonder where Sam is these days.
I thought it was Stacy.
Oh, Stacy.
Are you trying to tell me you had more than one friend?
I know that's a foreign concept. I bet I had five.
Ooh.
Like actual.
Yeah.
Couldn't pop it.
Yep.
Go ahead. Okay. Let it go.
Yep. Sorry about that.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
I hate water.
Why?
I want to like it so much. I just went to E-Mart.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rach, you need a water? Yes, I do. Okay. I'm going to go buy myself a soda, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get a water, too.
Yep.
I just hate it.
I'm so with you.
You guys, you're 80% water.
I wish I liked it.
I know. I wish I did, too. And I want to like it, and everybody walking around with water.
It's just plain. There's nothing to like.
No,
there's nothing to dislike.
I need it to
I am 80% clear as though.
Yeah,
you guys need to get so at nighttime I get fancy and I put raspberry lemonade crystal light in my water.
Well, that's not water.
That's
lemonade.
I agree with that.
But then it makes the I used to not drink it either.
I used to put the Mio in the water and that made it better and fine. But that's not water.
This might sound stupid, but it's kind of like drinking beer. Like, you probably don't like beer the first time you have it, but then the more you drink it, the more you're like, this isn't too bad. That's how I feel about water. Because I used to always drink soda.
I am such a sucker when it comes to marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that I like Fiji way more than like plain label. Which is, I'm sure
Fiji is delicious.
Is it?
Yeah, you can't. I mean,
I think Fiji's better too.
Remember, we did like the water taste test one time on the show, and I failed because I thought I could identify the life water that Tony used to buy me every day from the old E-Mart, and I wasn't able to do it.
I think I did okay in that thing. I remember that.
Oh, the water taste test? Yeah. I was like bragging that Life Water's my favorite. Because that is probably my all time favorite bottle of water.
Because I've made that claim about Fiji before, and I think. Close flipped out and was like, you couldn't tell the difference.
What a shock.
And I think I did. I think I...
Are we being terrible people right now?
As long as you recycle it. I mean, yeah, we shouldn't be drinking the bottle of water, but...
Because Jason Momoa went off on Chris Pratt because he had a picture of him working out with a bottle of water.
I think as long as you recycle it, you're okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Most people just throw it in a landfill. Man, I see this on YouTube all the time where an influencer will have their bottle of water that they pour into their...
reusable.
Yeah, I'm like, that defeats the purpose. The purpose of bringing your reusable bottle of water around is to put tap water or, you know, we have our nice water filter here. The only reason I'm not using my Bubba cup today is because I put iced coffee in it earlier.
Not only did you, man, you.
I shotgunned that.
Tanked that thing.
It was awesome.
You ever shotgunned a beer?
Awesome.
Dave.
I never have.
You've never shotgunned a beer?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. Never have.
I was like, wow. You've never played like Louisville Chugger? That is such a fun game.
No, ma'am.
All right.
Let's play it now.
Give me a beer and a hollow wiffle ball.
Even in my prime, which was a... Woo! What a prime. I was not good at it, but I certainly did it.
I may have tried it, but I failed so badly that I never... Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't chug like a Sam Adams or something, but if it's like a Natty Light, that's like drinking a water if you're a professional. I hate Irish car bombs. Everyone loves that. Like, oh, it's the Bailey's and the Guinness. I don't like beer like that. It makes me want to throw up every time I do one.
I agree.
Like a Wiggins booger.
Oh, brother.
Sorry.
People got upset about the booger.
I don't blame them. I couldn't not cover the story, though.
I had people asking me even today about that.
So funny. Andrew was in here setting me up for my recordings, and I mentioned it. And you know how Andrew is. He doesn't do anything halfway. And he was, it was like the Watergate scandal. He went frame by frame with the Annie Fry footage. Mm-hmm. He's completely on the side of it's a booger eating thing.
He thinks he ate the
booger? No, sorry. I'm just so used to booger eating. I just said it like that.
Yeah.
Tell him what he got.
A booger wiping thing. Oh, I got some stuff. If you're like me, you probably thought red light cameras were a thing of the past.
I did.
They're coming back.
I thought it was unconstitutional.
You can't get rid of them and then bring them back.
I did, too. I thought that was a whole thing. Apparently, maybe this is Mandela effect.
Mm.
Because there's no mention in these stories about
Missouri Supreme Court said you couldn't have them.
Right? Lida Crewson said that she's bringing them back.
Oh, Lida Crewson.
And they're, like, scheduled to start. It's just a thing. I remember that, too. But apparently it didn't happen.
Do red light cameras work if
this is a legit Mandela effect. Like, I remember that it was, like,
I do, too.
But they're coming back in the city, and the county is talking, is...
Then why did they take them down? There was a law. I remember there was a lawsuit.
Because people complained?
I'm shocked that, of all cities, St. Louis is bringing back the red light cam. We just talked about on the think tank how it's just like, crime doesn't really matter. People can get away with everything.
Right.
So we're going to hold people accountable even when the police aren't even
Great
there.
Great point. Let's...
And do red light cameras work if your registration is expired and...
I don't know.
You know, like...
Not sure.
Mayor Lida Crewson's bringing them back in 2020. And this week, the St. Louis County Council is discussing them.
Let's not prosecute murderers, but if someone's late for work and looks all four ways and rolls through a red light, let's nail them.
Yeah, that's it.
St. Louis City is a joke. It's a complete cash grab. It's a complete old crony system. They don't give a rat's ass about anyone who lives in St. Louis, whether it's wealthy people living in South St. Louis or it's poor people living in North St. Louis. They don't care a bit. No. There, I said it.
Mayor says that they can do good things with the revenue that they generate. How many people are going to even pay them?
Nobody.
Me? Because they'll come after me.
Yeah, but you're what, 10% of the people are going to pay them probably? Literally? Yeah. Revenue that they can't say no to, I guess. County Councilman Tim Fitch said that he is absolutely against them. And has always been against them, and wants to put it on the ballot in 2020 in St. Louis County, so then it can finally be resolved. If people vote it down, then that'll end the discussion. Like, can't bring them back. I guess you could vote on it again at some point, but at least that would end the discussion in the county. Put it on the ballot, which I hope they do. And then end it. But I'm like you. I thought we did this. And it was like, no, these don't work. These are unconstitutional. But apparently that didn't
happen.
Let
me just check the timeline I'm in. Bill Cosby, America's favorite dad or rapist?
Yes.
Both?
Okay. Yeah.
Just checking.
Maybe this is an ignorant opinion.
I
but
thought
if...
you said America's favorite dad, a rapist.
Maybe this is a dumb opinion, but if they can just film us going through a red light and taking, you know, take a picture, why don't they just film us doing everything all the time? Then you can catch all criminals and generate...
That's where it's going.
Unlimited revenue.
That's where it's going.
So, I mean, it's just step one. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Here's something. Here's a place that could use cameras. Metrolink says...
Yeah, amen. Put every camera you want up at Metrolink. Right. I am for that.
Metrolink... says things are getting better with their new safety plan. They say much of the crime that happens on the Metrolink trains comes from people without tickets. So they are implementing a new plan.
Well done, Metrolink. Wow. How many studies did you have to do for that? So if someone's going to go on and jack you, they don't take the time to buy a ticket. You are an Armenian genius.
Yeah. Yeah, the second most likely,
another win for Lyda Cruthen.
The second most likely person to commit a crime on Metrolink is a criminal.
God.
So the new plan.
I'm getting dumber just listening to this.
New plan makes people show their ticket before boarding. So I guess
to
we're
who
gonna, we're gonna yeah, I yeah. guess are we gonna put people?
When's
there?
The last
yeah,
time you saw someone there?
There's nobody there. That's the point. There's no security guards. There's nothing.
Well, so that's the other part of this plan is that Metrolink says that they are going to add police officers.
Oh, now, that however, seems like a good source of police
but they
resources.
Just can't do that, though.
Right.
Metrolink
you have to take them
just,
from somewhere else.
Metrolink can't just add police officers. So St. Clair County, St. Louis County, and St. Louis City are all discussing this, but they have to approve the additional police officers that would be stationed at all those places, and that hasn't happened yet. So Metrolink says the having to show somebody your ticket before you board the train and the addition of police officers is going to make the train safer, but
that's really easy to
thing,
say.
Yeah, the yes. police officer's thing isn't even
this would have worked
yet.
20 years
and
ago.
And we kind of have a problem in like the actual city with not having enough police officers. So now since you don't know how to run your train, they have to take police off of the street and put them at the metro station. That makes no sense.
Honestly, what happens? The train pulls up. There's a little person sitting in the booth that says, "Show me your ticket before you get on the train." And
now they're hiring little people?
A person just walks by. No, the booth is little.
Oh, okay.
They just walk by and get on the train.
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
What happens now?
Right.
Nothing.
What are you going to do?
And then if you're getting robbed on the train,
what are you gonna do?
Right now the current suggestion
nothing.
Is to let the criminal know that you're not in the right headspace to deal with
not
being
robbed.
Not my toolbox.
Not my toolbox. And then they move
robbed.
On. They move on at that point.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.